Blog Talk Radio. are married to someone, you have to learn how to let that person be human. See, you can look at two colors, and one may say, oh, that's a pretty blue. And another one may say, that's a sky blue. Because you said pretty blue and they said sky blue doesn't change the fact it's blue. It's okay. We can look at the same picture, but we may not get the same outlook. So when you're in a marriage, sometimes you could look at the same situation, but you may not look at the outlook the same or get the outlook the same. But we're going to learn tonight, when you're together as one, you allow the other one to be human, especially when you put God first. When you put God first and you let God take control of the situation, you let God be the head of the household, oh, my God. He's going to make sure that husband is a husband. He's going to make sure that wife is a wife. He's going to make sure those children understand Exodus 20 and 12, honor thy mother and father, and thy days shall be long on this green earth that the Lord has given thee. He's going to make sure that father doesn't send that child to wrath. He's going to make sure that mother will take her goods in the gate and sell them when she know that that father is a sick or he's not able to. See, when you put God first, things will work out. So we're going to do it this time. We're going to check to see if Elder Ron and Missionary Tony is on the line, and we're going to find out how they want to go forth with the program. So they're on Blog Talk. We're on Facebook, but what we're going to do, I want you all to listen. I want you all to get your Bibles, your pencil, your pad. I want you to write down key scriptures, key statements. I want you to write down things so for those that are married, we can practice being perfect in this marriage, letting God perfect the marriage, which I should say. For those that want to be married, you can write down some key things that would teach you when you pray to ask God for that type of wisdom for when you get that husband or wife. Remember, it's not a TV show. It's not a 30-minute segment. It's not like General Hospital, All My Children, Ryan's Hope, The Guiding Light. It ain't like that. See, this is God's way, and God's way is the right way because if you know like I know, it's the only way. So let's check. Are you all on the line, Montgomery's, please, Elder and Missionary? Okay, I don't hear them on the line yet. So what we're going to do, we're going to take this moment right here, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to wait to see what God has to say, okay? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity on tonight. We thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to hear your word on tonight. We thank you for opening our ears, God. Let us hear what the body of Christ needs to hear concerning the gift you have given us, the gift of marriage. God, we ask you to put in our hearts what needs to be there to teach us how to love one another beyond ourselves, but to love one another as you taught us to love. God, teach us how to want to be a wife, want to be a husband, want to be co-parenting, want to be parents, want to raise our children, want our children to love us back as mother and father, not try to play us against one another. God, for we ask you to teach us wisdom with the raising up of your children. Give us discernment of what you have blessed us with. Give us the discernment how to read our children, read our spouse in the way that it needs to be read, when we need to practice that shut up ministry, when we need to speak up, when we need to say what God says, when we need to pray out loud and we need to pray low. God, teach us. Teach us, oh God. Teach us how to understand that you, there was a gift you gave man first. After he gave him dominion over the world, you said to go and replenish and multiply. Teach us, God, how to follow your word from the beginning to the end. Teach us how to do what your words say, not some like it, not kind of like it, or I think it was one of most like it. No, God, teach us to do what your word says. Teach us how to quickly repent. Teach us how to quickly have patience. Teach us how to allow one another to be human. Teach us how not to hold each other to a pedestal that we're not willing to stand on ourselves. God, teach us. Teach us, oh Lord. Teach our children how to honor their parents, regardless where they're at. Teach our children to love their parents. Pray them out of situations. Teach our children how to speak life over their parents and to their parents, regardless what they're doing. Teach our children how to pray. Trust you, oh God. Believe what they're praying. Hold on to their prayers. Not to give up. Not to give in. Not to put you on a time limit, God, but just say, God, even if my heart, I want it immediately, God. Teach us how to wait on you, oh God. Teach us, oh Lord. Teach us, God. Let your word be loose tonight. Let your word release tonight. Let your word deliver tonight. Let your word break through, break down, and break up, oh God. Whatever's in us that's not like you, whatever's in us that's not holding your word to what we're doing, God, teach us. Teach us. Teach us, oh Lord. For you are God and God alone, and no one else will we follow or will we hear. Teach us how to listen for your word when it comes up. Teach us how to listen for your voice when you speak up. God, teach us how not to be anxious for nothing, but teach us how to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Teach us, O Lord, to want to be taught. Give us a heart to want to be taught. God, bless our homes. Bless our jobs. Bless America, God. Bless our neighborhood. Bless our neighbors, oh God. Give us peace on this earth, oh Lord. Lord, give us peace in our mind and in our body, oh God. Touch the broken hearts on tonight, God. Answer the prayers. Answer the prayers, oh God. So many are going through so many different things, God. But teach us how to wait on you, oh Lord. Teach us how to pray. Teach us, God. Keep America before you, oh God. Because America was built on, and God we trust. And God we trust. Teach us how to keep and continually trust in you, oh Lord. Teach us, God. Amen. Missionary Montgomery, are you and Elder Ron on the line now? Okay, I don't know.
Can you hear
us? I can now. I can. It's a little feedback, but I can hear you.
Okay.
It's in your hands now, so please listen.
Let this turn around.
Some of the God has
okay. Okay. Sorry about that. We were on. We just... Not sure. Okay. Praise God. How are you doing?
All right.
Thank you. I know the Satan is just trying to block this message in so many different ways. And I'm telling you, my computer started going down. We just got back from out of town, and there's just a lot going on. So we just are just receiving the prayer that you just prayed, just that God will have his way.
Yes.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. We honor you as God, as being the head of our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for being here, and that you are present in this place. And so we just ask that you just continue to bless this ministry as we move forward.
On the TV, and then I'll turn up my volume so we can hear.
And so we are, the Lord says the same. We are going to talk about the principle of oneness. Oneness.
Oneness in marriage.
In marriage.
Feedback.
I'm not sure where that feedback is coming from.
Somebody needs to mute their phone because it's an echo.
Please mute your phone. We would appreciate that. If you're not speaking, if you would mute your phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, as we studied this concept of oneness as it pertains, and we're talking about oneness as it pertains to marriage, we found this definition in the Oxford Language Dictionary on oneness. It says that the fact or the state of being unified or whole through... comprised of two or more parts. So when we talk about that, an example is the oneness of a husband and wife. Now, we read it in the scripture, and it's easy to read, but it is not as easy to actually obtain. It is difficult for us to truly understand the concept of moving from me-ness to we-ness. So when I'm talking about oneness, I want you to think about how we were as children. And the whole central theme of a child is what?
Me.
Me. It's about mine. It's about mine. This is mine. You know? And we get to experience that most of our life. We get to share with our siblings and even with our friends. But when it comes to marriage, it is totally different. And when we talk about marriage, we must use another lens. And so the lens we're going to use is the lens of God.
Amen.
And as we did our study, we found out that neuroscience really said that it takes the brain plasticity a while to really understand how to receive someone else and then to move from the selfish mindedness into this ability to mature and to be and to look out for someone else as well as for yourself. And they really says it takes about 2 decades. And so that, y'all, that's about 20 years. So
yes,
I want you to think about many marriages today, they can't last a year, less than 20 years. So
amen.
There's a lot of give and take. There's a lot of learning. There's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of learning how to give of yourself. And so the way God looks at it, I want us to look at it through God's reflection. And he starts, it starts in Genesis 1. Y'all say, y'all always take us back to Genesis. Yes, 1 and 27. We don't go back to Genesis where it all began. And it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, y'all, it is important that we really see that God created us in his image and likeness. The scripture tells us that he created us in his image and likeness. Now, I say that again because I want you to realize that we are created to be in relationship with God and with each other. Now, where do we get that image? Where do we get that likeness? It is the triune God is in a oneness relationship, y'all. I want you to think about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all in one. That is one relationship. They're always communicating with each other. They're always looking out for the purpose. They're always. It is not sometimes. It is not, look, Jesus gets on my nerves. Holy Spirit, you stepped on my toe. You can leave the room. You know, you didn't agree with me. Never. They're always in relationship. They're always in the oneness. Their purpose is to serve one another. Now, God created us in his image and his likeness. So it's really important that we understand always with one purpose. That purpose is, the Holy Spirit's purpose is to advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So God created the framework of marriage to reflect him and to establish his kingdom on earth. So the very first principle, Ron's going to discuss with us this idea of understanding our purpose.
Thank you, my darling, dear wife.
I love you. You're so famous. Okay.
Actually, we're going to discuss three principles tonight, and not because those are the only three principles. Those are probably the three that we'll get a chance to get to tonight in our time frame. The interesting thing about the principle of oneness is that it goes on and on. You can expand on these principles in and of each other, of themselves, or we can add other principles in. But what we want to do is look at these so we get an overall viewpoint of what oneness is. The first one is the principle of oneness is to know its purpose, to know the purpose of oneness in marriage. The second principle that we're going to take a look at is the principle, oneness principle is the unity of the purpose. Second principle, unity of purpose in marriage. And the third principle is clear communication. All right? So we got that? No, it's purpose. Oneness is purpose. It's unity of purpose and clear communication. Those are our discussion points tonight. All right? And if you would, if anybody hasn't yet, would you please call and mute your sound? So we're not picking up the ambient conversation that you're having with each other. We know that you're talking while we're talking, too. And that's great because these things are, it's important that you discuss it.
Yeah.
But
Elder Ron, can you tell me your last four of your phone number, please? This is Cecilia.
131. No.
No. 0112.
Okay, because I'm going to mute everybody except for 0112. Thank you.
Oh, you're talking about your phone.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
And we will have time for discussion at the end, so be ready to unmute them, okay? Again, our first principle of oneness is to know oneness's purpose. And quite simply, its purpose is to advance the kingdom of God. I mean, should I say, ta-da! That's something that we just know. As Christians and believers in the true God, Genesis 2:24 says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Yes, we're taking you back to Genesis, because that's where it all began. Our pastor, Tony Evans, explains in his study Bible that Adam and Eve both had a relationship with the Father before they had a relationship with each other. Together, they became one flesh, which is to say they share a unity of purpose while retaining their uniqueness as individuals. Is the pattern for all married couples. God's design, not man's design. You see? And unfortunately, we don't talk enough about this.
No, we don't.
And the reason I say that is because we are told so many oppositional points of view in our mainstream media on a constant basis. Social media has taken this opinion-laden information and have made marriage what they think it is. Most of the time, it's made up stuff only to sell the social media, to have people pay attention to it, not necessarily for its substance. but just for its interestingness.
Good point.
Matthew 19:3-6 says, Matthew, he gives us the New Testament references. Jesus speaks on the issue. And this is when he was having these discussions with the Pharisees. The Pharisees also came to him testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Remember that these are the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They knew what the law said. They taught the people. However, it's clear in their question that they were allowing the world or culture at that time to dictate their actions. Does that sound familiar to you, what's happening with us today? We are confronted with the same problems as the culture wants the church to change from following the truth. The scripture continues. And he asked them to say, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, there are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. From the dawn of creation, I'm sorry, Tony, did you have something?
No.
From the dawn of creation, God made one man for one woman with no escape clause. This is the lifetime, no-cut contract.
There you go.
The purpose of marriage is to advance God's kingdom rule on earth for his glory. Make sure we capitalize the H in his.
Yes.
For his glory. It means working together with your spouse for that joint goal. Tony and I have just come back from a very, very enjoyable weekend. We went to see some children. We've been knowing these adults since they were small children. I mean, you know, they were single-digit midgets when we first met them. We're very, very good friends with their parents. Their oldest son had their... he and his wife had their wedding ceremony this weekend. Now, I refer to them as he and his wife because they've been married for a year.
Right.
Here's the story. In 2019, they decided they were going to get married. They had been courting each other for a few years, and they knew each other, went to school together. And they decided that they were going to get married in July of 2020. And they decided this a year before. And so they were making all the preparations and making the wedding plans and whatnot. And you have to understand that this young man, he's a very stout and devout believer.
Amen.
And he was not going to compromise the word of God. Even though he was desperately in love with his fiancée, he was not going to touch her. And, you know, I'm talking about in a biblical manner. Until they were married. So he was counting down the days until July of 2020. Well, we all know what happened. The pandemic. And I think the ceremonial occasions were just verboten, if you will. And so their wedding plans had to be canceled. But this young man was listening to the words of Paul in the 7th chapter of Corinthians when Paul said, it's better to marry
than to burn.
So he and his fiance, they sat down and they spoke and they said, we're going to get married. I'm sorry, because he was about to burst in the flames. And they did. They had a very nice wedding ceremony, marriage ceremony in one of the parks in Dallas. And you know, everybody was wearing masks. It wasn't a large number of people there. And it was a very, very beautiful wedding. And they got married, and their husband and wife. The beauty of this ceremony this weekend is we got to see what a married couple looks like while they celebrated the ceremony of their wedding.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a marriage, because they were already married. It was a wedding ceremony. And I mean, the whole thing was a ceremony, from
dinner.
Well, that started with the rehearsal dinner the night before, and then the actual wedding itself. I mean, everything just took on a significance of wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then the reception. It was a grand celebration, and everybody just knew that this was a marriage that worked. And this was a marriage that God smiled on. And these people were committed to doing the holy word of God in their marriage. And that was such a lively and a beautiful the situation we had it. I know you know the part of the ceremony where they had the unity candle. Well, there's a new thing that's being done now is the unity, what do they call it, sand? The unity sand activity,
yeah.
Where the bride and groom take two different colors of sand. I think the bride had pink and the groom had blue, and they had their containers of these different colors of sand, and they poured them somewhat ceremoniously into one container. And you can see the sand just blending together. And that was a beautiful example of how you remain in your individualness, but how you fit together in one whole situation of oneness. And it was a beautiful. This really represents God's view of oneness. Tony, tell us about that second principle.
Well, the second principle, Ron, which just really partners with what you just said, was that God desires that we become one with our spouse in every aspect of our life. God honors our marriages when they come together as we understand our roles. And so this idea that oneness is really founded in this idea of unity. Because in unity, as you see in the Godhead, it really manifests what the purpose of God is to really be glorified. And so going in the same direction is so important. And I think it is really difficult, and this goes back to your point that you made earlier. Listening to God's voice is real difficult when there's so many other voices speaking in every situation that we have. If I'm upset with my husband, I can turn on something and they say, look, he ain't worth that. I don't know why you're dealing with him. You need just put him aside and keep going. It, you know, nobody is worth you compromising. Nobody is what you think. Well, that's not necessarily what the scripture says about that role. And not to say that somebody should abuse you. That is not what the scripture is saying. But it is saying that we need to make sure that we are paying attention to the role that God says that we're supposed to play. And so it is important that we learn to really establish our understanding of the truth of marriage and the oneness from the Bible. Not Oprah, not Dr. Phil, not from the most popular work or the most popular book, not the trends in the news outlets. You know, you can turn on the TV and now they're talking about J-Lo and somebody else. So this is her fourth or fifth husband. And that is like, you know, what is it, Elizabeth Taylor? She had nine husbands. It seems to be all right. But that is not what God said. He wanted one husband, one wife. That's what he did. And so it is so important that we understand that, because Satan's agenda, Ron, is that our marriages are at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
Because marriage, remember, is the institution that God created to actually fulfill how he wanted his kingdom to be shown on the earth.
Absolutely.
And so it's important that we understand that. And so here in our purpose, our unity, is that we must become imitators of God. The Amplified Bible sort of put it this way. It says, therefore, become imitators of God, copy him and follow his example, as well as beloved children that might imitate their father, and walk consistently in love. That is, value one another. Practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for the other person.
That's it.
Just as Christ also loved you, give and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, laid for you so that it became a sweet fragrance. Mm. But sexually immorality and morality, I'm sorry, and all moral impurity and decency, we should put all that away, or greed must not even be hinted at among you, as is proper among saints for a believer of our way of life, whether in public or in private, reflects the validity of our faith. So as I read through this, it made me realize that in our marriages, we have to be imitators of Christ. That means that there is so much I have to look out for. Brian and I have been married 47 years, and one of the things that I really get to love and understand is that I get to really look out for his well-being. Sometimes I think I get on his nerves because I'm always asking him, how you doing? What was that cough? You know, I think it's so important that we start to look out for one another. And the scripture just really gives us a guideline to do that, because becoming one is really difficult, because I've got to pull off Tony, put on Christ, so I can see Ron in Christ's view, not in Tony's view. Because sometimes my eyes ain't quite right. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about. But maybe you might not know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's like, you know, he getting on my nerve. I just want him to go somewhere and sit down. I still love it. But then it is like, oh, wait a minute now. How can I show somebody else how to love their husband if I'm not loving my husband even when he gets on my nerves?
That's it.
Okay, I shouldn't say it that way. Okay, anyway. And so I can't, so what I do in private, I also get to do in public. So
okay.
I get to tell him how much I appreciate him, how much I love him, how handsome he is. You know,
yes.
how much he thinks, he always gives me compliments, and that's such a sweet way of being, you know. Or when he washes the dishes, I can say thank you for washing the dishes, for always looking out, cleaning my car, doing those little things. He doesn't have to do those things, but because he doesn't, it gives me a way to appreciate and care for him. And so instead of writing down all the things that he does wrong, start really writing down all the things that he does right.
That's it.
And that makes it much easier for me when we get in those spots where things are not going as well. So I then get to be an imitator of Christ in my marriage.
That's it.
I get to make that sacrifice. I get to be quiet, as Minister Kaiser prayed in her prayer. I get to exercise that spirit of shut my mouth, hallelujah, and be quiet. Sometimes it's a spirit of bite my tongue because I want to say something.
Yes.
Because I'm looking out for my welfare, because it really hurt my feelings. So I've got to check myself.
Yes.
In Ephesians 5 and 24 and 25, it says, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives should be subject to their husbands in everything, respecting both their position as a protector and their responsibility to God as the head of the house. Husbands, love your wife. Seek their highest good for her and surround her with a caring, unselfish love. Just
yes.
as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That's not the message of the world. That's not what the world is saying. The world is saying, look, marriage is about you. What you get out of it? It ain't making you feel good? It ain't, you know. Then maybe you can get rid of that person and get you a new one. Oneness operates when we display a servant's attitude towards our spouse.
Say that again.
Oneness operates when we display a servant's attitude towards our spouse. It is about the other person's welfare. This is what it sounds like in the marriage ceremony, in sickness and in health.
Yes.
In richer or in poorer. Until death do us part.
That's what it says.
That's what it says. We say that. We stand in front of people and we say that. But the bottom line is the issue is how do we embrace that? Our pastor really talked about how do we embrace the truth. He talked about that. He says we can hear it, we can amen it, but until we embrace it and practice it and work it out, it is yet not truth in our lives.
Help us, Lord.
And so it's important that we understand that our whole purpose of unity is to look out for that other person. That gives God room to operate. That also really closes Satan down because he cannot get in to destroy our marriage and to build those walls of separation. So that third principle of oneness is clear communication.
Mm.
Whenever we talk to couples and they're struggling, we ask them, what is the area that you would like to work on? And what do they always say?
Communication.
Now, I would like, we're not going to tear this down, but we can tear down communication because communication is sometimes not what we think it is. It is many factors. So when I think about communication, I start with we have to watch what we say.
Mm.
In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore encourage and comfort one another and build up one another just as you are doing. Edify your spouse.
Mm.
I always say, when people tell me what they're going through, I have to ask that wife, what are you saying to your husband? What are you saying? What are you saying to him? Are you letting him know that he is the head of your household? Are you letting him know how much you appreciate what he's doing? And some of them say, well, he ain't doing nothing. I said, then what we start to say is, what does the scripture say? Speak these things as though they shall be. So we start speaking into the lives of our husband the word of God and what we desire him to be. I love my husband, but I prayed 16 years for him to come to Christ. And he was a good man. But we had real struggles sometimes about me even going to church.
Well, that's because we live in California.
And it was a struggle. Like, hold on, we ain't going there, Rob. I'm going. But
she's talking about football season.
I'm talking about how we have to speak life into our hearts.
Y'all know. In California, football starts at 9:30 in the morning. It's about the same time church starts.
So I was praying for my husband to come to Christ. That's all I'm going to say. Okay.
That was a long time ago.
But the reality is that other people are going through that. You know, we are here not because we started here. It's we've grown here. We have learned here. We have fought for our marriage here. It was not something that just came easy. It's something that we had to work on, y'all.
I would just like to say that I hope that we can meet each and every one of y'all in person so I can share my story of salvation with you. I want you to put your eyeballs on me as I talk about this, because to me it's a pretty interesting story. But like I say, I'm not going to go into it now because I'll spend 2.5 hours talking about it. But it's great dinner conversation.
And it's a blessing because he is saved. He confesses Christ as his Savior.
Oh yeah.
And that was one of my desired prayers for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that God has no respect of person. So if he can save my husband, that means he can save your husband or your spouse. If you're listening and you're concerned that your spouse is not saved, or you desire to see a greater work in their life, God can do anything but this.
Mm-hmm.
He's a mighty God. There is no failure in him, y'all. There is nothing impossible. Jeremiah says, is there anything impossible for God? No. And so we have to remember that. So this is one of my exercises I would like for you to do, we would like for you to do, is to write down your spouse's name, either the husband or the wife. And I want you to write their name down. And then I want you to put hashtag team, whatever their name is. So on my paper I have hashtag Team Ron.
Now mine I have hashtag Team Tony.
And so because we are each other's cheerleaders, we are here to support our husbands and our wives. No, they don't do everything perfect. No, but we are moving towards oneness. And so this idea of open communication gives us an idea of what we say has power. The scripture says that that life and death lies in the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure what we say to them has the power of the kingdom in it. And so we want to do that. The second part of clear communication is watch what you think.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians says that we are demonstrating sophisticated argument and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the truth, the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah, the literal reading of that scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:5, is, and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ.
And so, again, sometimes Satan will place into our minds after we've had some kind of argument or something, and we are thinking, what do we rehearse? I said, what are we rehearsing in our minds about our husbands and about our wives? All the things that they do wrong, if we rehearse that, guess what's going to come up? Everything that they do wrong.
That's it.
So then we're watching what we're saying again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we really have to watch. We have to take every thought captive. So Satan does not get us to start his agenda. Remember, at the top of his agenda is our marriage, at the top of his agenda. So at the top of our agenda have to be obedience to Christ. Remember that we are actually being imitators of our Father. So then we have to wander. We have to watch what we ponder in our hearts. In Proverbs 27:19, it says, as in water, faith reflects faith, so the heart of man reflects that man. So we have to be careful what we ponder on, what we think on, because it's our heart. In our heart flows the issues of life. It's in our heart. We don't know. The scripture tells us that our heart is desperately wicked. We don't know what's in it. So we have to be careful not to hold grudges, not to say things and believe that our spouse is out to hurt us. So we, now that spouse becomes the enemy, we have to be careful who we are attacking. A lot of times we think and we're fighting with who? Our spouse. the one that we're supposed to be one with. So we're fighting with them, giving Satan room, right? And as we give Satan room, what happens? He causes more conflict, and then he takes over. And so we also have to be careful to listen without preparing an answer. My daddy used to say, look at yourself. You've got two of these and one of these. You've got two ears and one mouth. James 1:19 puts it this way. It says, understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear. Be careful, thoughtful listeners, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger. Patient, reflective, forgiving.
The beautiful thing about James
is
that it's written for the Christian church.
Yes.
It's written for those believers. And I call James the Proverbs of the New Testament. And as you read it, you're going to get so many golden nuggets of Christian thought. And James attaches your behavior to it. So.
Yes, he does. He does.
So, he's very specific about how you have to behave in regard to your reflectivity of the truth of God.
So I really want to talk about communication in the light that this is how we start to establish boundaries to protect our marriage. We belong to one another. This is not about what your mama said. It's not what your daddy said. Your marriage belongs to the two of you, not your children. It belongs to the two of you. You establish that. When you establish your marriage, then this gives you a way to keep the enemy from causing conflict in your home, that you become unified under one thought, that you have clear communication. And then this way you can be vulnerable to your mate. You can be naked and unashamed. We're just not talking about sex. We're talking about those parts of your heart that you hide, those things that you want to share with somebody, but you can't share with anybody else but your spouse because they know you the best. So we want you to really understand that this oneness is to protect you and to help you. If you are struggling in any of these areas, this is when you start to pray and ask God for guidance. This is where you're going to get help. You might need go to counseling. You might need mentoring. You might go to a couples retreat. It's not something that can be fixed overnight necessarily, but it's something that you can work it with. You are learning about yourself and about your mate. The only person that you get to change in any relationship is you. You don't get to change your mate. You get to change you. And you change you through God's way. You are praying and you're seeking God's face. These three principles of oneness is our way to follow God's view of marriage. We now turn this back over in the hands of Minister Kaiser.
Thank you so much. I thank you for the lesson on tonight. God is so good because we have to remember it is not our plan. It was God's plan from the beginning.
Come on. Amen.
The first thing he told man after he gave them dominion, he gave them dominion over the land, was to go and multiply, replenish the earth.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So when God put the plan in motion, he didn't just all of a sudden come up when he said that everybody had something, but man didn't have nobody.
Come on.
Not only did he give man a workmate, he told them he wanted them to know each other. And
nice.
He said it was good when he made woman for man. Now, what happened in the in-betweens, now they changed God's plan. God didn't change his plan. And
correct.
It looked like from that point, the world is constantly trying to change it. And I thank you for the teaching on tonight. We can't let the world change God's plan. He said, let every man have his own wife, and let every wife have her own husband.
Okay.
I thank you for the teaching of the oneness on tonight, and I hope everyone on Facebook that was listening in got it too. It's not about one is not enough and a hundred is too many. It's about one.
That's right.
You know, that's another lesson. But it's
still a lesson.
He said, let every man have his own wife. Cleave. You know, cleave. He didn't say lead her own. He said cleave.
He said cleave. That's right.
I appreciate the lesson on tonight. I thank God for it. So, you know, anybody that's married, that's some tools for them to work with. Any one of us that's not married, that's tools for us to learn to glean with. And for those that want to be married, there's tools for you to use. So
amen.
I said earlier, it's the one thing I find that's hard for us that's married to say is, I love you and I'm sorry. You know, I didn't do it. I just want to do it God's way. Let somebody step up and say, look, let's get to God because we're going to mess something up. So I just thank God for the word on tonight. The Apostle Elect, could you open the lines on Blog Talk? So if anybody have any words they would like to say to Elder Ron and Missionary Montgomery, Tony Montgomery, and I'll just read the little comments on Facebook while we're listening to the comments on Blog Talk. The lines are open. Go ahead.
Hello. My name is Cynthia, and I'm not married, but this is my auntie, and I just wanted to call in to support and, you know, be a part and listen to her and my Uncle Ron, and I love you guys so much, and I am in a relationship, and these are tools that I plan to use, and I thank you for letting me be a part and listening in, and I love you.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Cynthia. We love
you, too. Love you more.
Okay, it's a young lady on Facebook named Cassandra Brown. She says she's in the car driving and listening while she's on the way to pick her daughter Diamond up after she get off work. And she said, preach. So let you know that she's listening while she's on a mission to pick her daughter up from work.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
Okay, well, good evening, everybody. This is Minister Margo. I just want to thank Team Montgomery for all that they do and for this lesson tonight on marriage. And one of the things that stood out to me was the whole concept of communication and how when we think about it, sometimes we think about it as interaction. Two people speaking to one another or waiting for their turn rather than the importance of what we say and also the thought that we hold in our mind about our spouse. That really touched home to me, and I ask for your prayers in that regard because even if you don't say something, if you are rehearsing it in your mind and it's there, then it's going to come out in one way or another. So thank you for that. That was very informative and necessary, I think, for most of us to understand the importance of our thoughts as well as our words to those that we love and care about. God bless you both. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Margo.
Thank you, Margo.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to speak into the man of Woman of God's life on tonight?
Hi, this is Caleb, and my wife Kelly. We're listening from home right now in California, and we just want to say how much of a blessing that, you know, just the word of God and just hearing about marriage and communication. This is such a key because communication extends, I would say, about 80-90% of things that the breakdown is because no communication. So just finding out different ways to communicate, not just on the big things, but on the small things, and then learning how to communicate before things even arise. Because a lot of times what happens is, well, from what I see, as we let things go on, and build up, then we build up and then we let the devil in our mind. And because we didn't communicate, we start thinking for the other person and our expectations. Oh. Then once the other person's expectations doesn't meet what our expectation is, then we start to have major issues. But sometimes when we're able to communicate before we even start to even try to think what the other person is thinking, we start to find out, like, you know what, man, let me step back. I didn't realize that they had an issue going on. So then it forces you to step outside of yourself and say, you know what, I need to be there for them in a different type of way. Because sometimes the ways that we think that we're trying to be there for them, it's not the way. And we're thinking like we're doing a good job. It's like, yeah, that's good, but that's not the way that I need you to be for. So sometimes we really have to communicate, pray, and continuously turn it over to God and ask him to show us how can we be there for our mate. Because if you just leave it up to me, I'm going to just do what I'm, the education level that I'm on and what I've learned so far. And that could be just completely, sometimes you just could kind of completely scrap that whole, you know, the whole thing. And so then you just have to take it back and you have to ask your mate, like, what does that look like to you? And then we have to really be clear about it and then try to figure it out and say, hey, that's what it looks like to you. And then just keep trying to make, excuse me, make that a best practice. So I just want to say that, you know, I like, you know, the communication is so such key.
Thank you, Caleb.
Thank you, Caleb. Oh, and it's so great to hear your voice. Gosh, Caleb is recovering from COVID.
Yeah.
And he was in the hospital up until about 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And he, as you can hear, he's made a remarkable recovery.
Praise God.
And we just hope that you're continuing to get better. Let us know if you need any more soup.
Okay, I will.
Well, I thank God for the comments that he made, because it goes back to what you all were ministering at, the sickness and in health, you know. So I thank God for that. We have that go another testimony on the line tonight, that he said him and his wife were sitting there listening, that even through the sickness and the health, she was there. So thank God for that.
Oh, yeah. His wife is a real angel in his life.
Yeah. See, that's what a lot of times us wives have to understand, those of us that's married and those want to be married. We have to understand that we can't overlook that part, sickness and health. We can't overlook that part of, you know, to be there. We have to make sure that we listen to the whole. The Word of God says eat the whole roll. We have to listen to all the vow. You know, it ain't like it's just invented. It's been there for a while. So is there anyone else that want to speak? Someone that's not married, or someone that is married?
Yeah. Praise God. Hello, this is Cecilia. I'm not married, but I do love the teachings and everything that our elder Tony does, and also our elder Ron, because it's very, it's not just interesting, but it's a teaching that can help us in preventive. So we talk about preventive medicine. There's a lot of preventive medicine we need in our relationships. And I also remembered how many times we talk about communication, but it reminded me of how nonverbal communication says more than what you say that comes out of your lips. And so when you were talking about the things that you meditate on and what you say, I thought about how we say a lot without saying a word. So thank you so very much for giving me the preventive medicine that I don't need for a relationship, but thank you anyway. Because it'll help me when I'm talking to others.
you never know what the law's on to.
I'm good. Thank you so much.
I'm praying he's sent a hobo ass. I thank God for the lesson on tonight. For those that's listening, I hope you got something out of the word. So before I make my final remark, and let the man and woman of God to finish us off with their final remarks, I'm going to ask one more time. Is there anyone else that has something they would like to say on tonight? Okay, well, I thank God for the lesson on tonight because it has helped me a lot, because being a strong woman and always figuring I had to have the last say-so, I had to learn how to be quiet. I had to learn how to look back on what would my mother do, what did my aunties do. I had to look back because I had strong women where I was growing up used to tell me, sometimes the best thing you could do is shut up and go in the kitchen and cook. I don't think a lot of young people would get that, because everything is about DoorDash and ordering up and going out to eat. But we had to go in the kitchen and cook. When I was younger, I didn't want people to think I knew how to cook, because I didn't want to cook. I'd rather clean up than cook. But I had to learn how, when you cook, that the person, the spouse you're cooking for, can tell if you just threw it together or you put it together with love. I remember my uncle, George, used to be in the living room, and my baby sister would say, take this up to this plate to George when it was time to eat, and he would look at it and say, it ain't right. Take it back to baby sister. I would have to take it back to her in the kitchen, and she would put a finger in and stir it up and say, now give it to him. I would take it back to him, and he would say, now that's a meal. Because he knew it had been prepared with love. Somebody may not understand that, but I'm telling you, the programs that we have on this ministry, it's about not just bringing life, but it's teaching you how to keep life, because we're teaching the word from the God that gives life. So if you just take what the ministers are putting out here and apply it, you know, you get an infection and say, put a little of this on it, this antibiotic on it, it'll get better. We're going to take this word on it, and it's better. Apply this word on every part of your life. It's going to get better. Don't say, today I'm going to give it a little. Give it a little every day. Then each day it's going to become more and more. Then it's going to become permanent. Apply the word of God to everything in your life, and I guarantee you it's going to get better. Don't just go with your knees. Just say to God sometimes, thank you, Lord, for my gift that you have given me. Thank you, Lord, for this woman that don't mind cooking for me. The woman says, thank you, Lord, for this man that say, I'm going to go shopping with or without her because I know what the house needs. You better understand that when God gives you your gift, the woman and the man of God on tonight taught us that God will give you exactly what you want as long as you keep him first. So I'm going to say tonight I'm so grateful and thankful for being a part of this ministry. I want you all to remember we're here every Monday night from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We went over a little bit tonight, but it's okay because somebody needed a little extra to make sure that they was able to put that extra stamp on their marriage or their engagement or whatever it is they're working with the body of Christ. I want to tell you we're here every Friday from 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Prophet Antoine Thomas, as well as myself, Minister Sylvia Kaiser. We're here on Friday night. On Sunday mornings from 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with our very own Apostle-elect Cecilia, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and Minister Brandon Kaiser. Please tune in on our programs. Don't miss the word of God. This is a blessed ministry, and this ministry is a true ministry. We stand and we believe in God's word. We stand and believe on God, and if that's all we have, that's all we can give you. If we don't give you nothing else, we're going to give you what the word of God says. Our motto and our message that we stand on is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's what I got to say. We love you with the love of the Lord. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm going to hand it back over to Elder Tony, and Ron Montgomery, and they can give you their final words as we close us out tonight.
And so I'm going to close out. Ron has to go return the car. And so, Lord, we just thank you for just this opportunity to, Lord God, to feed your children, to be part of the kingdom work that you have desired, that your kingdom might come on earth. We ask that you bless this ministry, that it might grow. Bless the head of this ministry, Apostle-elect Cecilia, and minister, I want to say Renee, but I know it's Sylvia, Kaiser, as they go forth, Lord God, as they continue to do the work that you've placed at their hands to do. We thank you for those that have tuned in tonight, that have listened. God, we just ask that you bless the word, that it will, Lord, take seed in their lives and that it will grow. Lord, it is about you that we come to do your work. We ask, God, that you do what you do best, is be God in the lives and the different situations that we're in. You see the marriages. Lord, heal the brokenness. Continue to bless those places that are good. And, God, give them the strength and the stamina, Lord God, to help one another, that they might pray for their spouses, that they might love their spouses with that love of the Lord, that they might never give up, but always, Lord, give in to you. We just thank you for what you're doing and what you, Lord God, will do from the words that you have given us tonight. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good night, Blog Talk and Facebook.
Amen. Good night. Thank you.